Welcome to Spirited Sports. Toldycak Electris, Nick DeChico, Elias Dracos, and many more break down the biggest moments, game-changing plays, and the stories behind the athletes. Whether you live for the thrill of victory, the hustle of the underdog, or just love a great sports conversation, you're in the right place. This is Spirited Sports.
The opinions expressed in the Spirited Sports podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. How's it going? And welcome back to another episode of Spirited Sports. A little short-staffed here this week. It's only me and Todd here today. Nick and Todd, the dynamic duo, back at it again. But we have another exciting episode of Spirited Sports on the way. Let's get right into it. And Todd, we have a little bit of breaking news as we enter the studio here in regards to the Senators.
Yeah, so just breaking news about an hour ago. Thomas Chabot, one of the Senators' top defensemen, unfortunately, he's going to be out. Looks like for the period is 4 to 8 weeks. So that's a pretty long timeline there. That could be a month, could be 2 months, could be the whole rest of the season. And obviously, it's a huge blow to the Senators team that's been so good recently, right? I mean, if the playoffs started today, they would be in a playoff spot. And Chabot's a huge reason why.
Yeah, the Senators are such a resilient team. We saw that last year when they made it in and played the Maple Leafs in the first round of last year's playoffs. Obviously, got bounced in the first round. But they're looking to get back into the playoffs. And, you know, considering how this season started without Brady Tkachuk, some goalie inconsistencies to start the season.
Yeah.
Given everything that this team has been through, losing Thomas Chabot at probably one of the most crucial times in the regular season is a massive, massive blow for this Sens team. And especially with all the other injuries that they've had throughout the season, it's definitely a tough break. Like, the Sens are currently without Nick Jansen. Nick Jansen's on IR. And five defensemen for the Sens are out amid their playoff push. So, wow. This is tough, including Jake Sanderson. And Sanderson is their ice time leader, right? Wow. So this is a really, really tough situation for the Sens. But given how much adversity they've faced this season, this is a tough break. But I think they come out on top on this one.
Yeah, you know, like you said, yeah, it's definitely a tough loss. Obviously, you know, even Chabot himself has been averaging 22 minutes of ice time this year. So that's huge loss, you know, to try to replace that, especially, like you said, late in the year and on a heater. But like you also said, they've overcome so much adversity already to this point. So it's like, you know, there's what, I think 11, 12 games left to go. So that's going to be, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But I do think they can hold on. We'll see. Obviously, you know, they're tied with the Islanders right now for that last wild card spot. And the Red Wings are still there. Even the Flyers and Capitals still kind of have a chance as well. So there's a lot of teams mixed in there. But I think Ottawa's a tough-minded team. I think they still got a chance to get in.
Yeah, it's going to be an upwards battle, but they've been on an upwards battle since the beginning of the year. So the NHL first round of the playoffs begins in just over 3 weeks on April 18th. So it's going to be tough riding for the Sens, but if they're able to hold on, watch out.
Yeah, that's a tough team.
Yeah, it's a tough team to play too, right? Such a gritty, hard team to play against. And, you know, the Sens' identity has always been resilience, right? They've always been a team that no matter, you know, what the score is, there's always a chance for them to come back.
Yeah. Even in that series against the Leafs last year, like you mentioned, they were down 3-0, right? And then they won the next two, and everyone was like, oh my goodness, like, what's going to happen, right? Obviously, they lost in Game 6, but, like, that was a good series.
Yep. All right, let's shift to another Senator, and this is more of a positive story, but Carter Yakimchuk, what an incredible debut for him, picking up a goal and an assist in his debut, his NHL debut, and quite an impressive feat for him. Am I right?
Yeah, no, definitely, for sure. Especially, you know, in that game they're playing against the Red Wings, who are one of the top, you know, obviously competitors for that last wildcard spot. So for, you know, Yakimchuk to make that play in the second period for the Senators and the kind of extend their lead, in such a big game like that, basically a playoff game, if you think about it in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty impressive to me.
For sure, for sure. And especially for Yakimchuk, a lot of family in the house that night in Detroit, you know, making a lot of drives across Canada to see him play.
Yeah.
Having family there is definitely very special. So, yeah, this was great. This was great for him.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Jakub Dobysh and the Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens are another team, another Canadian team in currently in a playoff position. And against the Hurricanes, one of the best teams in the East so far, making 41 saves against the Hurricanes team that is so strong. Impressive, impressive for Dobysh.
Very impressive, honestly. Like, that's not easy to do. Like you said, the Hurricanes are a great team. One of the best teams. They've been, you know, arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference, obviously, all year long. And, you know, that's obviously a big game, too, for Montreal, trying to at least stay in the top three in the Atlantic. And they managed to get the job done and win that game. So that's huge for them. Obviously, Cole Caulfield, or as some people call him, Gold Caulfield, absolutely on fire. Might lead the league in goals. We'll see. I mean, that Rocket Richard, but yeah.
He's getting close.
He's getting very close. I think it's like him, McKinnon, am I wrong, Kucherov?
Yeah, Kucherov's in there as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting race to see, but yeah.
Yeah. And we don't see like 40 save performances very often, right? Yeah. And especially for Dobysh as a young goaltender as well, facing those many shots against a difficult team in Carolina, especially with Ehlers and Staal and all those great players there. And to play at home, I think definitely had a lot to do with it. You know, having that Montreal crowd there supporting him was definitely big for sure.
Yeah.
But this Montreal team, watch out in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're a tough team to play. Like, really, if you look at them in terms of, like, goal scoring, you have a bunch of guys, like you mentioned Caulfield, but not just him. You know, Nick Suzuki's having a fantastic year, obviously. Slavkowski's been amazing. Obviously, Lane Hutson as well. So they have a lot of firepower offensively. Really, the only question, or the biggest question for me, is really the goaltending and kind of that consistency. And obviously, we saw what Dobysh did against the Hurricanes, 41 saves, right? But can they be consistent? That's going to be the biggest thing. And especially, you know, in the playoffs, you play going against Tampa Bay in round one, you're going to need to be able to be on your A game.
For sure. Those guys, so. For sure. For sure. For sure. And yeah, even, you know, you talk about scoring, but you look at defense, you look at a guy like Dobson, you look at Matheson.
Jack Eye,
yeah. Just some a good team all around for Montreal, for sure. For the Canadiens, if you were their if you were Martin St. Louis, who do you start in game one? If you were St. Louis, who do you start in game one?
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Honestly, I'd probably go with Dobysh. Montembeau has not been, definitely not as good as he was last year. So I wouldn't want to start him in game one. And then obviously, you know, Fowler is the other option. And as talented as he is a rookie, right? And like throwing him game one, you know, put him in Tampa Bay, that's going to be a tough environment. Let's say if they play the Lightning in round one. So for me, it's like, I don't know. I'd probably rather go with Dobysh. I just think he has the best combination of that experience. Also, he has the potential to play at a very high level. Like we obviously saw with that game against Carolina. So for me, if I was Martin St. Louis, I'd go with Dobysh in game one.
All right. Let's see what happens. As we said, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are just over 3 weeks away in round one. So we're coming down the stretch here in the NHL season, and things are really, really heating up. And one team I wanted to mention, and as we move from the East to the West, where have the Nashville Predators come from? Like, they've won five straight. They're currently sitting in a wild card spot. For a team that I didn't think was really going to make it into the playoffs. And again, it's a tight race. You know, they're 3 points up on the Kings right now. They're 5 points up on Seattle. So they have a little bit of a gap. But, yeah, Nashville, of all teams in that Western Conference, to make it into a wild card spot, I would have thought the Kings, Seattle, even the Jets. I would have thought the Jets would have been higher at this point of the year.
Yeah.
The Sharks surprisingly have slipped off a little bit. They've lost five straight, and they're 7 points out of a wild card spot. So Nashville, like, have they kind of gone all in this year to kind of make a push for playoffs? Because last year they didn't make it in, and they had brought in Stamkos, they brought in Marchessault a few years back. They kind of kept the core with Yossi and Saros, right?
Yeah.
On the back end there, but this team has been really, really good. This team has been good, and we'll have to see if it holds on. But that was a surprise. I was looking at stuff to talk about this week, and I was not expecting to talk about the Nashville Predators in our hockey segment today.
Yeah, no, me either. Honestly, I was, the Sharks kind of tailing off there in the play is kind of, for me, disappointing. I'd love to see Celebrini versus McKinnon, you know, in a series like that, even though the Avalanche would probably win that series, you know, but that'd be fun. But man, the Predators are playing great. And, you know, this is a team that I think everyone kind of thought, you know, they'd be kind of rebuilding. They would maybe trade some guys at the deadline, but I guess you can say credit to Barry Trotz for hanging on to those guys and not trading them because they're playing great right now.
Steven Stamkos is currently leading the team with 35 goals, 57 points. So he's definitely upped his game there. Yeah. Forsberg, who's been a staple of this franchise for years, 65 points, 33 goals. Ryan O'Reilly, again, another addition to this veteran core of Predators players here, 24 goals, 66 points. And some really, really great work from spread across this top six in Nashville, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of depth on this team, which has been one of the biggest reasons why they've been able to really go on this hot streak, honestly.
Luke Evangelista, that's one guy I really, really like on this Preds team. He's kind of, I would say he's a little underrated. He is he's almost close to 50 points this year, and He's been kind of that sneaky player that has been getting a lot of great points and great looks for this Preds team. And, you know, given last year he had only 32 points and 10 goals, he's already, you know, his career high is 16 goals, and there's still about 12 games to go for the Preds this year. Does he eclipse his career high, you think?
I'm going to say he falls just short. I'm going to say he maybe ends up with like 15. Yeah. Like just one shy. But he's been great. Obviously, Toronto native as well. So, and 24 years old, one of the really young players on this Predators team. So it's pretty cool to see him play that well.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about the playoff picture. Let's take a look at what we have so far. And let's look, because there are only two teams that have been locked in for a playoff spot, and that is in the Central with the league-leading Avalanche and the Dallas Stars that are right behind them.
Yeah.
The Avalanche, like, that team, so stacked. Yeah. So stacked. Like, you have McKinnon, you have Makar, you bring in a guy like Natchez, I think he's really shined there.
Yeah.
I think he was so underrated in Carolina. He's taken off.
Oh, yeah.
The speed that team has. Incredible. Incredible stuff.
It's crazy.
And I think I'm so surprised that they were knocked out in the playoffs so early last year. They were kind of building things. I thought they were going to have this same kind of dominance that we saw earlier in the year where they had only lost like five games in the first like 35 games. Like, I thought for sure that they were going to go deeper into last year's playoffs.
Yeah.
But going into this year, they're probably one of the best teams in the league. Probably one of the favorites to win. Am I right?
I'd agree with that, honestly. And yeah, like you mentioned last year, you know, that's when they obviously made that trade for, they traded Mikko Rantanen for Nietzsche's. And obviously, and that happened. But, and yeah, they were probably going to go to the second round at least. And then Rantanen had a hat trick in game seven, but they've been great this year. I thought, honestly, they were going to challenge the Bruins' record for the most points in a single season early on, like you mentioned, like how well they were playing. They kind of cooled off like at the beginning of the year, but they've still been playing at a great high level. So yeah, you know, I think for them, it's you know, it looks like they're gonna win the division, which would be huge for them. And it looks like, you know, obviously for the Stars, the other team that's clinched a playoff berth, it looks like they're gonna be playing the Minnesota Wild in round one, which is like kind of crazy. You have two probably top five teams in the NHL playing each other in the first round. I know that's been a lot of discussion, the playoff format and whatnot, but yeah, it should be interesting to watch.
So if the NHL playoffs started today, just looking at the bracket here, we'd have in the East, it'd be Buffalo and Boston. That would be an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
A rematch of a Stanley Cup final we saw during the bubble era of hockey, and that was Tampa Bay and Montreal. Then Carolina and Ottawa. That's a good series.
Yeah.
And then the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That would be good. That'd be a really good one, too. Yeah.
That reminds me of like the Rick Nash era of Columbus hockey. So good. So good if we can see a really competitive matchup between the Pens and the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
And then for the West, it is Nashville and Colorado, then Dallas and Minnesota.
Oh, man.
That's such a good series.
That's a Stanley Cup final matchup in round one.
But does that go to seven?
I think it goes seven.
Personally. I think it has to go seven.
I don't know who wins, but I think that would go seven.
Then Anaheim and Utah.
That's a really good one, too. I don't know who would win that one.
That's an underrated matchup.
Yeah.
And then a rematch of
last year's second round, and I think the 2023 second round as well. Yeah.
Edmonton and Vegas.
Yeah.
That should be a good matchup, too.
I don't know. What's your thoughts on Vegas, Nick, real quick?
I think they're a decent team. I think the Oilers beat them out again in the first round. Again, if the playoffs started today. But, yeah, I go Edmonton. The hungry team, right? They've been back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, losing out to Florida. I think they're the hungrier team. I think they beat Vegas in the first round. Okay, so who wins each series? So we'll start off in the West, Colorado and Nashville.
I go Colorado in five.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Okay, Dallas, Minnesota.
This is tough. I'll go Dallas in seven.
I'm going to go Minnesota in seven.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right, Anaheim, Utah.
I'm going to go Utah in six.
I'm going Anaheim in six.
Ooh, okay. That can go either way.
Okay, Edmonton and Vegas.
I go Edmonton in six.
Same.
Yeah.
All right, Buffalo and Boston to start off the East.
I'll go Buffalo in six.
Boston's a tough team, though.
They
turn it on when it comes to playoffs.
And Buffalo doesn't have much playoff experience, right?
That too. But they've been such a strong team.
That's
right.
Yeah.
This is a tough decision. You went Buffalo?
Yeah, in six.
In six? Ooh. I'm going to go Boston in seven.
Oh, upset. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Tampa and Montreal.
I'll go Tampa in seven. I think it's a tough series.
I'm going to go Tampa six. Tampa in six. All right. Carolina and Ottawa.
Upset time. Ottawa in seven.
This is hard because we don't know if Shabbat's going to be back for this series.
That's tough, right? Yeah.
And then Sanderson's out too. He'll probably be back, but who knows if he'll be 100%, right? This is tough. I'm going to go Carolina. Carolina in six.
I can see that. Yeah.
All right. Columbus and Pittsburgh.
I'd go Pittsburgh in seven. I think Sid the Kid and those guys have one more run in them.
Pittsburgh in seven?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh six. All right. That was fun. That was great.
That was good.
Yep. Let's talk about some football now, and let's talk about a record-breaking extension in Seattle.
Yeah. We saw recently Jaxon Smith-Njigba signed a four-year, $168.6 million contract extension with the reigning Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Great news there for both the Seahawks and JSN as well, or as some people like to call him, the Emerald City Route Artist. Such a long nickname. I don't know. But anyways, let's stick to JSN. We should stick to JSN. But anyways, obviously he had a fantastic year last year. Big reason why the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, obviously. One of the best receivers in the league. It's kind of like a, to me, it's like a no-brainer, personally. But I'm curious, Nick, what do you think about this deal?
This is a great deal. You know, it has some great term on it. Given JSN's career year last year, just some really, really great numbers. I loved seeing him play in Seattle, and I think he fits the system. He's such a great fit in that system. And the money, well-deserved, I think.
Yeah. Very, very, very deserved. He's 24 years old, very unselfish too, which is like, you don't see that a lot from wide receivers, you know? So, yeah, I think this is a great deal for both sides.
Okay, what about Jalen Waddle? Him moving from Miami to Denver, and a change of scenery for him in terms of team and also in terms of atmosphere as well. Denver can be cold. We potentially see snow during the season compared to Miami, where snow, not so much.
Yeah, definitely a change in climate for sure. He might want to bring some winter jackets with him over to Denver. But I like this deal for the Broncos. You know, they gave up a first-round pick this year, but it's the 30th pick, right, because they obviously made a deep playoff run.
Right.
So I like this for Denver. They really needed another playmaker for Bo Nix. You have Cortland Sutton, who's really good, but now you add Jalen Waddle and that speed. I think that's going to be really huge for Sean Payton's offense. The Dolphins, they're all into a rebuild, clearly, as we clearly seeing of all the moves they're making. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's not a bad deal for Miami, but...
You know, do you think they got enough for Waddle?
I think they got enough. I think they got a 2026 first rounder for next month's draft, and then they got, I think, some mid-round picks as well. So that's pretty solid, but I feel bad for Malik Willis, right, who's now their new quarterback, and it's like, okay, like, congratulations, we're going to give you this big contract deal, and then, yeah, we're going to give you nothing to work with, though. You just got to do it yourself. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, you know, we'll see what Jeff Hafley, you know, new Dolphins coach has in store there, but, yeah, I don't know.
All righty. That was a great episode here of Spirited Sports. That was great, Todd. Great work today. Short-staffed here this week, so this was great, you and me. Back at it again.
It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. That'll do it for the end of this episode of Spirited Sports. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.